Jewish news from down under. Home under. With Vic Aladav.
Good day, mate.
Morning, Vic. How are you?
Good morning. Very well, thank you.
Good.
Good to talk to you.
It's lovely to speak to you too. Vic, can we talk about the Supreme Court ruling against a yeshiva head? What's that about?
This is an issue we've talked about before. So the head of the yeshiva here in Sydney, this is the Yeshiva College and Religious Institution, is Rabbi Pinchas Feldman, and he's actually been the head of the yeshiva, and for yeshiva here, read the Lubavitch movement. So this is the head of the Lubavitch Chabad movement in Sydney, and he's been in that position for 4 decades and more. Obviously, he came out from New York 4 decades ago. And over the years, the Lubavitch movement, the Yeshiva College, and the Rabbinical College, they've run into financial difficulties over the years. They've had an extraordinarily generous benefactor whose name is Harry Triguboff, who's one of the half a dozen wealthiest people in this country. Arrived from Shanghai, penniless, all those years ago, and has done exceptionally well in property development and blocks of flats specifically. The connection between the two gentlemen is that Harry Triguboff has owned properties and a house in particular, and the Yeshiva College, which he has made available to Rabbi Feldman and the Lubavitch movement, and to the tune of literally millions of dollars over the years, millions of dollars over the years. There's been a falling out between the two, and where Harry Triguboff basically said, well, the lease is up, guys, you're out of here. And Rabbi Feldman and members of his family and the Yeshiva Synagogue have appealed to the Supreme Court against Harry Triguboff, essentially pulling the plug on their lease in this property. And by the way, according to the report, they've had a lease of $1 a year. So obviously just a token lease for $1 a year. And now, so the Feldman family, the Yeshiva, they went to Supreme Court this week. And the Supreme Court have come down on the side of the landowner, Harry Triguboff, and said that the rights of possession or occupation of the property have come to an end, and that some aspects of the yeshiva entity can continue, such as the Yeshiva College itself, which is the school itself, but that the Feldman family and their members and associated entities will have to leave. Now, to put into context, I mean, the Lubavitch movement is only about 2% of the community here in Sydney, and probably more or less the same in Melbourne. But as we know, they always have a very big presence wherever they go, even irrespective of their size and numbers. And Rabbi Feldman's name, Pinchas, is, dare I say it, a household name within the Sydney Jewish community. And so it's certainly a significant ruling, and one which I don't believe he will accept without a continuing fight. In fact, the quote from him this week is, "We are considering our options, including appealing." So it's not over yet, but quite a landmark ruling, you know, coming down against the family from the Supreme Court.
Do you think that this quarrel is something that the community might get dragged into?
Well, the short answer is no, I don't believe so, because at the end of the day, it's a commercial transaction. It's a commercial agreement. Yeah. I mean, it's not just commercial, because it's, you know, for $1 a year, obviously it's not it's not commercial terms. But it's a matter between Harry Triguboff and Rabbi Feldman and his family. And it's between the two of them. It's essentially, it's not for others to buy into, quite frankly.
Yeah. Okay, let's move on. A Jewish woman has won Australia's most famous car race. Is this the Australian Grand Prix?
Well, it's not Grand Prix. So the Grand Prix, and I'm certainly no expert on motor racing, but Grand Prix is always, we call it Formula One. So this would be Formula Two. So it's one level down. So it's saloon cars, sedan cars, and it's a 12-hour race. So it's a real big, effort of stamina. And the interesting thing is, so this woman, her name is Betty Klemenko, and her own personal story is that she was put into an orphanage at the age of 7 weeks. So she was put out for adoption, faced a very difficult life, and was eventually adopted by this family called John Saunders and his first wife, Etta. And Saunders had a Holocaust background, was one of the main founders of what's now the Sydney Jewish Museum, which is a Holocaust museum. So Betty, as a young child, was brought up in what turned out to be one of the wealthiest families in Australia. So, and eventually when John Saunders died, who, you know, her father, her adopted father, she inherited a multi-million dollar fortune, and he died 20 years ago, 1997. And so she has had this passion for motor racing, and she owns this team of saloon cars, which just this week won. It's called the Bathurst 12-hour race. Bathurst is a place just slightly north of Sydney. And it's her team, her car, her drivers who won this famous race. And it's the well-known car race in this country. And it's a quite amusing quote. She said, "It's 20 years since my father passed away. I did it for him." And she said this in a speech as she held up the trophy. And so, you know, just a nice story. I mean, yes, she did inherit, you know, multi-millions, but coming from a really challenged background as a child who was adopted from an orphanage. And just a nice sort of self-feel-good story there.
I think that we've got some women in our community who could give Betty Klemenko a real run for their money. And not only that, they can do it in those microbuses, you know, those people carriers.
Yes.
With six kids, yes, jumping around in the back on their cell phones in reverse.
Faulty makeup.
I make no comment on that whatsoever. The other interesting thing is about her father, her adopted father, John Saunders. And he's one of the co-founders of Westfield. I've mentioned Westfield before in this program because his co-founder was Frank Lowy. And Westfield is the world's largest shopping center conglomerate. So it's her adopted father and Frank Lowy, also out of the Holocaust, who set up Westfield. So she has an interesting pedigree around her, very different to those microbus driving people you're referring to there.
Yeah, usually when they, you know, when these ladies are trying to get chicken for Shabbos, you won't believe the stamina there. All right, Vic, finally, Israel and New South Wales, they're collaborating. What are they doing together?
So this is great. I mentioned recently that LL and Qantas have entered a co-chair agreement. So now the New South Wales government has announced that it will put up 50%, 50, of any New South Wales company which enters into an R&D arrangement with an Israeli company, up to the value of $250,000 per grant, per program. So it's a great program. It just further cements the Israel-Australia bilateral relationship. And it comes at the very same week that we had out here this week, Israel's Ministry of Science Technology, who came for, there was an international aeronautical congress here in Adelaide, which is one of our cities here. And again, to talk about Israel and Australia working, collaborating together on science and space exploration. So a lot of very positive stuff happening in that field, in the business field, in the R&D field. And as I mentioned before, coming up at the end of this month is the 100th anniversary of Be'er Sheva, you know, the charge of the Light Horse Brigade.
Yes.
And about 3,000 Australians are going over, led by our Prime Minister, Malcolm Turnbull, and there's going to be a reenactment of that Light Horse charge at Be'er Sheva, which will be just extraordinary.
Amazing. Vic, thank you so much. That's where we leave it today. I have to tell you, I much prefer this time zone because we're not running out of time with you. We can actually have a conversation.
I enjoy it too.
Yeah. How many time zones does Australia stretch across?
About four. The country is essentially, it's just a tiny bit smaller than the United States of America in terms of landmass. It's a massive country. Yeah. I mean, to fly from the west coast to the east coast, depending on which direction, one direction takes 5 hours, the other direction takes just over four because of the wind. So it's 4 or 5 hours to fly across the country.
And when does your daylight saving finish?
end of March. Okay. So that's for 6 months.
All right. But maybe we can even keep this off, keep it in this time zone afterwards.
Yes, it works for me. It's good. Yeah.
Thanks, Vic. You have yourself a wonderful day. God bless.
Thank you. Okay. Good to talk.
Cheers. Bye.